Welcome back to the podcast. It's been a strange year, hasn't it? I'm recording this in 2021, and we're still not at the end of the current worldwide pandemic. People have been searching for comfort in all sorts of places, whether that's in family, in medicine, or in simply having more stuff. Where are Christians meant to find comfort? Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to be playing some sermons I've been giving from the book of Isaiah. This book is foundational to the New Testament, and the New Testament authors seem to say that their message is in line with it. So we're going to see what it says, and we'll see where God calls us to find comfort too.
Isaiah chapter 41 says this: "Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his service? He hands nations over to him and subdues kings before him. He turns them to dust with his sword, to wind-blown chaff with his bow. He pursues them and moves on unscathed by a path his feet have not travelled before. Who has done this and carried it through, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am he. The islands have seen it and fear. The ends of the earth tremble. They approach and come forward. They help each other and say to their companions, be strong. The metal worker encourages the goldsmith, and the one who smooths with the hammer spurs on the one who strikes the anvil. One says of the welding, it is good. The other nails down the idol so it will not topple. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, you worm Jacob. Little Israel, do not fear, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp, with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them, the wind will pick them up, and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I will set junipers in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress together, so that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. Present your case, says the Lord. Set forth your argument, says Jacob's king. Tell us, you idols, what is going to happen? Tell us what the former things were, so that we may consider them and know their final outcome. Or declare to us the things to come. Tell us what the future holds, so that we may know you are gods. Do something, whether good or bad, so that we might be dismayed and filled with fear. But you are less than nothing, and your works are utterly worthless. Whoever chooses you is detestable. I have stirred up one from the north, and he comes. One from the rising sun who calls on my name. He treads on rulers as if they were mortar, as if he were a potter treading the clay. Who told of this from the beginning so that we would know, or beforehand so that we could say he was right? No one told of this. No one foretold it. No one heard any words from you. I was the first to tell Zion, look, here they are. I gave to Jerusalem a messenger of good news. I look, but there is no one. No one among the gods to give counsel. No one to give answer when I ask them. See, they are all false. Their deeds amount to nothing. Their images are but wind and confusion." Well, a few weeks ago, we were in Isaiah chapter 40, weren't we? Do you remember that? Isaiah chapter 40. And we were seeing great words of comfort that God was giving to his people. And he was giving those words ahead of time. And we saw that God was incomparable. He was the creator and therefore had the power to rescue his people. He is the incomparable, caring God who is coming for his people. So Isaiah wanted the people to behold their gods, to see what God is truly like, because that's going to give them comfort. And we said the same is true for us. If we're to get comfort, we're to look to God. Let me just remind us with the final verse from chapter 40, Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Now, it's been a few weeks since we saw that, but what impact did that have on the week that followed for you? How easy did you find it on the Monday after to hope in the Lord? Did you feel weak? Well, in situations like that, where do you find your strength? See, the issue for Israel in Isaiah is whether they're going to listen, whether they're going to trust. And that's shown in where they go to find their strength. So the question the passage is asking us tonight is, where do you find your strength? And to help us think about that, Isaiah takes us into the cosmic courtroom. All rise, bang, bang goes the gavel. So if you read through Isaiah, you're going to come across this imagery a lot. We're going to come back to it again and again over the course of this series. But this here is an invitation to trial. Just have a look at verse 1 with me. Isaiah 41, verse 1. Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. Can you see? God is calling the defendants to the dock. And who are the defendants in this? Who are they? Well, it's the world. You see, when Isaiah is talking about islands here, he's talking about the far ends of the earth. See, this isn't Israel in the dock. This is the nations around them. Those islands that God has already said he can weigh on scales back in chapter 40. And the challenge made to them, you can see it there in verse 1, is for them to renew their strength. You can see that verse 1. That's what God said people are to do. Those who hope in him will have their strength renewed. He said that back in chapter 40, didn't he? We just saw that. So these islands, they're to come forward and to speak. They're to give their defense. They're to give their defense in the place of judgment. So this evening, we're going to follow this case, a case that hinges on the question that we asked earlier. The question, where do you find your strength? And Isaiah wants us to see this evening that it is madness. It is utter madness to look for strength anywhere other than in the Lord, to look for strength in anything else other than God. Now, a crisis usually shows what someone is really like. A crisis shows us what someone truly relies on. I mean, we've seen that recently, haven't we? With the COVID pandemic, we've seen where people have turned. We've seen where people have tried to find their strength, whether that's trusting in medicine or trusting in stuff. Do you remember this time last year, all the toilet roll hoarding, all the shops completely empty? Well, the same went with Israel in Bible history. You see, previously in Isaiah, when Assyria came up to the gates of Jerusalem, the people, they turned to Egypt for help. That's where they thought they could find true strength. Well, the crisis here is in verses 2-4. Let me read verse 2. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his service? He hands nations over to him and subdues kings before him. He turns them to dust with his sword, to wind-blown chaff with his bow. Who is it who stirred up this one from the east? Well, verse 4, it's the Lord. And that's the threat on the horizon. That's the threat heading into the world at the time. See, the king of Babylon, he's on his way, and he is unstoppable. Just see how he's described here. He seems to float through the nations as if they're nothing. He's an unstoppable wave of destruction and despair. So what are the nations? What are those islands? What is the world going to do in response to the king of Babylon? Well, verse 5, the islands have seen it and fear. The ends of the earth tremble. They approach and come forward. See, the islands are scared. So what do? Where do they find their strength? Well, they turn to themselves. Do you see that? Just hear the account, verses 6 and 7. They help each other and say to their companions, "Be strong." The metal worker encourages the goldsmith, and the one who smooths with the hammer spurs on the one who strikes the anvil. One says of the welding, "It is good." The other nails down the idol so that it will not topple. Do you see? They turn to each other. "Be strong." You can just imagine the conversation. "Have you heard the news? Babylon's coming." "Oh, yeah. But it's okay. I have this idol. It's made of the best iron, and we've overlaid it with the finest of gold. But could you just nail it down so it doesn't fall over?" See, it's laughable, isn't it, when you think about it? The people, they think up this idea. They tell each other it's good, and then they nail it down just in case it falls over. The people, they're trusting in themselves. That's where they find their strength. And that is what idolatry is at core, trusting in yourself. Well, what's the alternative? Well, it's God, isn't it? That's what verses 8 to 20 are pointing out. Let me read verses 8 to 9. "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth. From its farthest corners, I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you." You see, God's made a promise. Do you notice the personal language there? Israel, Jacob, Abraham, my friend. See, God doesn't go back on his promises. And he's called them from the farthest corners before. He's given the role of being his servant to this people. It's an idea we're going to track in future weeks. God has chosen them. He has not rejected them. Not because of anything they've done, not because of any strength in them, but because of his own decision, because of his own strength. Well, so what? Well, have a look at verse 10. "So, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You see, rather than finding strength in themselves, God reminds his people that they can find strength in him. See, they are weak, but he will hold on to them. He has chosen them. He will hold them. You see, rather than having to hold an idol up, God will hold them up. It's his hand that makes his people strong. Now, saying that, verse 14, it might come across a little bit rude. "Do not be afraid, you worm, Jacob. Little Israel, do not fear, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Well, just imagine I had a worm here. I tried to find one earlier, though Anthony seemingly in the garden. But just imagine I had a worm here in my hand. The one thing you would have to say about that worm is that it's weak. It's helpless. I can do whatever I want to it. Well, that's the imagery here. But the big difference, the thing that makes all the difference, is that the Holy One of Israel is with his people. The Holy One of Israel, as chapter 40 showed us, who is incomparable and who cares. That's where true strength is found. And you see, God's done this before. He can be trusted. Just have a look at verses 17 to 19 there. These are all pictures. They're taken from the Exodus. We're going to think more about this Exodus idea next week. But just think about Exodus for a moment. God led a weak people out of the middle, right of the middle of the world superpower at the time. He led them through a wilderness, a place of death, but he provided them everything they needed. He's done it before. He can do it again. In fact, we can expect him to do it again. So there are the two alternatives, an idol or the Holy One of Israel. Which one of those is going to provide strength, the Lord or the idol? In the courtroom, which of them is going to work? Well, the prosecution, they turn to the idol. Verse 22, tell us, you idols, what's going to happen? Tell us what the former things were so that we may consider them and know their final outcome. Or declare to us things to come. Tell us what the future holds so that we may know you are gods. Do something, whether good or bad, so that we will be dismayed and filled with fear. If you're a real God, God says, tell us something you're going to do. But as you'd expect from a chunk of wood nailed to the box, the answer is silence. See, the idols cannot say one thing they're going to do. But God can. Let's have a look at verse 25. I have stirred up one from the north, and he comes. One from the rising sun who calls on my name. He treads on rulers as if they were mortar, as if he were a potter treading the clay. I'm the one who has stirred up this invader, says God. Now let's just hit pause a second there. Has Isaiah got his compass all mixed up? You see, he said east earlier, didn't he? And now he's saying north. Well, let me just show you something. That's because if you were to invade Israel, you'd have to come from the east. You see the Babylon Empire there? You'd have to come from the east and then come down to attack Judah. Can you see that line there? Otherwise, you end up going through the desert, and that's a really bad move if you're an army. You see, for an invader to invade Israel from the east, they'd have to come in from the east and then come down from the north. So this is still the same person who's invading. And we have to remember as well that this hasn't actually happened yet. This is future from Israel's point of view. Isaiah is talking about something that's future to himself. Well, the big thing here is the court case. It shows us that the idols are a terrible place to find your strength. They're a terrible place to find your strength because deep down, they're just a false source of blessing and security. Deep down, the people are just relying on themselves. But God is demonstrating that he is totally other. And therefore, strength, true strength, can be found in him. He's the one who knows what's going to happen. And as verse 4 says, he is the first and he is the last. It's absolutely crazy to think you're going to find strength anywhere else. So right in the center of this passage is the application, actually. Have a look at verse 10. Do not fear. You see, a Christian, one of God's people, is one who has turned from idols to serve the living and true God. We know that from 1 Thessalonians, don't we? So a Christian is someone who has turned from idols to serve the living and true God. Therefore, a Christian finds their strength in God. See, if Israel listens to what Isaiah is saying here, they will not fear. Although this exile is coming, although Babylon is going to sweep through them, they are safe. The Holy One of Israel has got them. He's done it before. He'll do it again. And the same goes for us today. See, as we hear those words on a Sunday evening, and then we go into our weeks on a Monday morning, we might feel weak. We might feel that we don't have what it takes to stand in this world. But Isaiah chapter 41 shows us, reminds us, where true strength is found. So are you weak? Well, yes. Yes, you are. Yes, I am. But our God is not. So do not fear. So do not fear in this pandemic, in the meeting, in the hospital. God is with his people. Brothers and sisters, tonight, where do you find your strength? Well, we need to find it in the Lord. He is with us to strengthen us and to help us.
Well, I hope you found some comfort there. Any feedback can be sent to me on podcast@david-couch.com, and I'll see you next time.